Hello and welcome to the Trending Now podcast for this Friday, April 12th, 2024. I'm Louis Butko. Thank you so much for joining us, however you found us here on CHCH Podcasts, as we recap the week that was on Trending Now, which you can catch every Monday to Friday, 7 p.m. and 11:30 on CHCH, CHCH.com, or on the Trending Now YouTube page. Coming up on today's show,
that
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau took the stand this week as the public inquiry into foreign election interference, and while there, took the time to dispute intelligence that was gathered by Canada's spy agency. Trending Now host Nicole Martin has been following this story all week and joins us with what we need to know from this week's inquiry. Paper bags will soon be available for LCBO customers once again after Ontario Premier Doug Ford ordered the Crown Corporation to reverse their reusable bag policy. And the Toronto Blue Jays returned home this week for the first time all year after completing more than $400 million in renovations. Laura Sebin was at the opener Monday and joins us with her review on the updated digs. But first, the head of Canada's spy agency standing by the stark conclusions outlined in a series of CSIS briefing notes, including mentions that China, quote, clandestinely and deceptively interfered in the past two federal elections. Nicole Martin.
Bombshells.
Has been following this story all week. And we were just talking about this. This has been a 10-day inquiry. This was the final day. Expected to be another one in September, though, or what's the
separate
plan?
Hearing okay. For that. But with this one, it was actually supposed to wrap up on Wednesday. So today was just an extra day because they wanted to recall the head of CSIS to ask further questions.
Okay, so Trudeau testifying, that's a big deal. Right. Anytime a sitting prime minister is willing to sit in front of testimony under oath, he's, I don't want to say taking a chance, but he's trying to show he's got nothing to hide. What did you make of his testimony this week?
Well, it's interesting because when you're dealing with security issues here with the election, there's only so much you can say. So he couldn't really get into a lot of it. And so many of the documents that have been presented have been heavily redacted. But he was really critical of CSIS intelligence. He said it was his job as the prime minister to question intelligence and to ask further questions of it. But a lot of this intelligence was supporting a liberal government. You know, you're looking at China and the meddling that China did in this. And again, like you mentioned here, clandestinely and deceptively interfered, China specifically in 2019 and in 2021. It was in favor of a liberal minority government. That was also in the briefing documents. So, I mean, he's towing a fine line here. He is saying, yes, he agrees there was some interference. However, CSIS backs this part up too. It did not impact the overall election results.
We talked about what he said about CSIS, and you sort of mentioned it there. He says he very rarely read briefings.
Yes.
That he trusted people to tell him things orally. I mean, it's a little Trumpian. He doesn't like reading, right?
You know, yeah. Tell me something. It's Pierre Polyev jumped on
what
that
yesterday. What did Pierre Polyev have to say about that?
Oh, he just thought it's the most believable defense. He actually, that was his way. I think Canadians will actually believe that he didn't read the documents. A lot of the documents that were presented to the CSIS director when they would go in for these briefings, the CSIS director has admitted and has said that that's true. He will just give major incidents and updates to Trudeau. Do they have the documents? Yes, they have been provided. But in terms of the general statements and the big things like that, that line, that whole clandestinely and deceptively that the People's Republic of China interfered, that was brought forward to Trudeau. So that did in fact happen. The fact also that it's a low risk and high reward, that statement by David Vignon, the head of CSIS, that was said multiple times in private and in public. He testified today, which went against what Trudeau said on Wednesday. Wednesday, Trudeau said that he had never heard that before.
He said on Wednesday, said, this is Trudeau, said, I didn't feel there was sufficiently credible information that would justify this very significant step. That being,
yes, flag it to the public.
To flag it to the public and also to take down the candidate that was running. There was a liberal nomination process that was going on, and that's where they say China got involved.
Oh, that was Don Valley North. This is for 2019. Nomination process. And what they found was that the PRC, People's Republic of China, organized buses of international Chinese students to go and vote for Dan Hong.
Wow. I mean, like
Handong,
you said,
Handong.
Yeah. What we're learning about this, do you feel like it's going to, I mean, where we've been reporting on it all week, but it's one of those issues, the Trudeau government today coming out with this ambitious housing plan saying we're going to build more houses, we're going to do it quickly. They're doing everything they can ahead of next week's budget, which is the other thing that's going to happen is the budget's going to come out next week. Is anything going to stick from these last 10 days?
Well, we'll see. There's going to be an initial findings report in May, mm-hmm. so coming up next month, and then by the end of the year, they'll have a full submission of what they found in these hearings. However, it's important. It is important for Canadians to take interest in this because we have another election coming up. So I think that's been the question even to CSIS again today. What steps are being taken now to ensure things like this don't happen again in the next general election next year?
Speaking of the next general election, I didn't put this on our list of things mm-hmm. to talk about, but I know you covered it. Alex Jones
yes.
Weighed in on the race this week. Mm-hmm. Did we ever get a solid denouncement from Pierre Poilievre? Trudeau used this in question period this week, attacking him.
Yeah,
saying,
well, I wish I had the formal statement that we reached out to the conservative camp, and they did actually provide us with a statement. No, did they formally denounce saying Alex Jones bad? Like, we don't listen to him.
Yeah.
They did say they don't listen to him. Mm. They don't listen to this. They were careful not to include the guy's name,
Alex
Jones, in their statement to us, but they don't listen to him. They don't listen to his theories. And that's that. So that was their take to us.
It just seems so easy to just say, we don't need this, denounce this. And it was the comments of people going after Trudeau for going after him on the Alex Jones. Like, just do a little bit of research on Alex Jones and the things he says.
I know.
I feel like in 2024, like publicly saying, yes, I listen to Alex Jones. It's like publicly saying, yes, I listen to Andrew Tate and I agree with his theories. Right? Like, I think.
Remember, Alex Jones denied the Sandy Hook shooting.
Yeah. And he's been sued for hundreds of millions of dollars.
We're up to $1.1 billion.
Billions of dollars. So that was an interesting week in Canadian politics. You mentioned it. The budget is next week. So it'll be interesting to see how much sticks from this week, right? Like, whether it's the CSIS, whether it's the housing stuff. We know that the Trudeau government's going to want to move on. But
one more thing really quick about this topic, because this just came out today.
Yeah.
So the Conservatives have launched a separate inquiry. They're asking for another hearing and a whole separate interference motion here. And that's because the Globe and Mail had a report on Wednesday that said that a Liberal staffer leaked classified documents to Handong to warn him that CSIS was investigating him. So again, this is all a report in the Globe and Mail. But the Conservatives are taking it seriously because if that person is found guilty, if they're charged by the RCMP and found guilty, that's up to 14 years in prison for a crime like that, releasing classified documents and information intelligence. So they're now calling on the RCMP. They just sent a letter today asking them to investigate this, and they want a full hearing to figure out which staffer it was.
We'll keep our eye on that one.
I wanted to add that in.
Hey, no, we got to it. Wanted to get your thoughts on O.J. Simpson. Yesterday was one of those days where we're sitting in the newsroom casually, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., a tweet comes in. It's like, OJ Simpson's dead.
I know.
And the tweet came in, and it was really interesting to see the world's reaction as it happened. And I saw a lot of tweets or a lot of comments, a lot of X's that were like, we're about to find out what X would have been like in 1995 right now.
Could
right?
You the imagine?
Two sides. Yeah,
you know,
we see if it doesn't fit, you must have quit. Yeah. So, like, listen, we talked about this. We were born in the early 90s. Early 90s, we'll call it. I don't have a whole lot of recollection of the case, but I mean, it really did do a lot for TV. Cable news, that 24-hour around the clock. This was a big, big part of the development of basically TV news at the time.
Well, not only that, but reality TV.
Yeah.
It's so funny. People in the newsroom who maybe are just a little bit older than us were talking about watching the trial and saying it was actually like a reality show, and it became a soap opera because you had some attorneys having an affair with another attorney. One had a heart attack, the lead prosecutor. Like, there was just so much going on with the case, and they all became household names, not just the not just the witnesses and the lawyers, but the jurors too afterwards.
Yeah. The Kardashian, Robert Kardashian, of course, a friend of him before.
Did the Kardashians get their start because of this or because of sex tape? I don't know, but this could have been a big part of it.
There's a documentary. It's called OJ Made in America, and it's the 30 for 30. It won an Oscar. It won an Emmy for Best Documentary, and I just started it last night.
To watch this.
So every episode's like 90 minutes. I think there's 8 episodes. So I think it's the longest movie ever to win an Oscar because they just, it's one thing. It's like 400 minutes.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting because, like, again, even OJ, the football player, I'm a big Bills fan. I know his name is up there. I know he had that historic season, the 2,000 rushing yards. But it was interesting to see just what a celebrity he was. He was really the first of his kind in terms of breaking into multiple TVs. And especially as a black man at the time he was coming up, late 60s. The Rodney King riots were all happening in L.A. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see his story. But obviously... A lot of mixed emotions. Not even mixed emotions, because a lot of people are like, the words good riddance have been said a lot.
Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner was one of them. It's just been interesting to see how people are covering this and talking about it.
I know. And we even heard from some of the neighbors that were neighbors with OJ and Nicole Brown Simpson. And they were just saying his life was so incredible. He just threw it all away. Because, yes, he was acquitted. He was acquitted in those murder trials. But civilly, he was found liable for their deaths. It's unfortunate that was the route he chose for his life.
Let's talk about something a little bit more fun. And that was the eclipse on Monday. And even like driving in today was one of those days. And I've talked to a couple people who were part of our great coverage from beginning of the day to right up until the 11 o'clock news. I was fortunate to get to be a part of it as part of our 3 o'clock. Emily Taylor and I were down there at Table Rock.
You guys did a great job.
Emily joined you on Trending Now as I watched from the car ready to go from Niagara Falls. But it really was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The trending world, how'd they react this week?
Oh my gosh, it was for days.
Yeah.
That's all people were talking about. I guess the Sunday, the day before, Monday, Tuesday, even into Wednesday, it was like number one on all the trends. But the funny thing is, I mean, not really funny, because I'm sure there's a lot of hospital visits for this. The day or two afterwards, like the number one Google search was eye damage.
Oh.
There were so many people that actually looked at it. I mean, just don't look at the sun, guys. So get some glasses.
We were in Niagara Falls, and it was unfortunate because it was very cloudy.
Yeah.
It was very cloudy. It was supposed to be one of the best spots to watch it. A couple of breaks from the sun. We got lucky and got to see it. And then really, like during totality, Emily and I were joking about this. There was probably 5 seconds total in which we saw the ring around it. And we did get my reaction on camera, like, wow. And I think we ran it at the 6 o'clock, like, to start the show too. But it really was a once in a lifetime experience. Niagara Parks, they did a great job. Katie Wassenaar, who oddly enough is a friend of mine. I went to high school with her and her husband.
Yeah.
So it was just funny to get to like that small world of it all.
I know.
Especially being a Niagara guy myself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Emily picked me up from my apartment to go there, right?
Cute.
Like, so it was just like, I was like, oh, this is a special little day for me, and I get to be on TV. So and that's what I said. I'm like, I didn't take any pictures of it because I have that moment now on camera forever of just like, where was I, during the last eclipse? When somebody asked me, it's like, where were you? I was like, oh, hit play, show a video on my projection phone, whatever 50 years from now we have. I'm sure I'll still have that video.
Full circle. Everyone's like, where were you when OJ was
exactly.
That slow speed chase. Oh, you, wow. Where were you?
Where was
eclipse,
I during
Louis?
The eclipse?
Niagara Falls.
Big plans for the weekend?
None.
You and the fam? That's great.
No, I hit my car, so I've got to go.
Oh, no.
In my own garage, Louis.
Okay, well, you deal with that.
I've got to go deal with the damage.
Get ready for the show. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Louis.
All right. My thanks to Nicole Martin for joining me today. Still ahead, we'll be joined by Laura Sebin. Lots to get to with her coming up on the show. But I wanted to get to this trending news out of Arizona in the States, where a long dormant abortion law that was revived in that state has engulfed lawmakers inside the legislature this week. The Republican majority blocked two attempts at discussions about repealing the 160-year-old pre-state law that only accepts termination to save a mother's life. Now, the move sent Democrats into a frenzy and sparked much reaction and debate across the U.S., including U.S. President Joe Biden and his likely opponent in the next election, Donald Trump, ruling in. We'll get to Trump's statements in just a second. But the state's top court revived the law from 1864 on Tuesday, which cleared the way for enforcing the pre-statehood abortion ban throughout pregnancy, throughout pregnancy without exceptions for rape or incest. The ban also carries a prison sentence between 2 to 5 years for those who provide abortions. Now, the move is sparking concerns over the future of clinics in the state and outrage across political lines, although the Democrat Attorney General in Arizona has made it clear she'll not prosecute any woman or doctor under what she called the draconian law. Meanwhile, the GOP in Arizona say they do not want to rush discussions, citing that abortion policy is a complex one. Meanwhile, much blowback is being thrown at presidential candidate Donald Trump, including shots from U.S. President Joe Biden, blaming the Republicans since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, where states were given the power to enact their own abortion ban. So we'll watch that story closely in the next few weeks and leading up to the 2024 U.S. presidential election. I want to bring in Laura Sebin before I read this story, because this one's got you written all over it here. Premier Doug Ford is telling the LCBO to go back to giving away free paper bags for alcohol purchases. Ford sent a letter to the Crown Corporation saying he wants them to stop charging customers for bags, which actually isn't even what they're doing. They just got rid of the bags completely.
Are they even selling bags?
I don't think it wasn't even selling things. But last year, LCBO phased out the bags, saying it would divert thousands of tons of wastes from landfills, save the equivalent of over 188,000 trees every year. Ford responded saying the environmental merits were questionable at best.
Oh, my God.
And says that, he says it's too much. It's too much money. It's too much of an expense for Ontario. How much do you hate not having LCBO bags?
I don't. It hasn't affected my life at all. And I'm a frequent LCBO goer.
Me too. Me too. So I like the 8-pack thing that they have.
Yeah.
Portion control.
Yeah.
Or just the boxes.
Yeah. Which
the
is
flats,
what,
which I recycle
not,
them anyway.
Yeah, if I'm not buying like an individual bottle of something, I'm buying like a pack of something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm carrying out a box that wouldn't go in a bag anyways. And I don't know, like the 10 meter walk from the LCBO to my car when I'm holding a bottle of wine, it's not that serious. I just think Doug Ford is so hilarious because there's better things to be focusing on. There's more important things to be focusing on. He's the one who wanted open alcohol in parks, but then he says in his little letter, Ontarians are embarrassed having to show what they've purchased at the LCBO.
Did he actually say that in the letter?
That's like part of what it said. He's like, Ontarians are like uncomfortable or embarrassed or something like that about having to carry open alcohol. I'm like, it's not open, like unless you're a psycho and immediately twisted the lid the second you walked out. That's a whole other problem. But like, it's just because, and then people I saw on X, people dug up that the company in charge of making these bags pays money to his campaign and to his party. So that's all Doug Ford is ever motivated by.
This all comes as opposition took aim at the increase of staff inside the premier's office. According to the annual Sunshine List of public salaries over $100,000 in 2019, Ford's first year in office, 20 employees made the Sunshine List, which cost taxpayers $2.9 million in compensation. 2023, that number has doubled, more than doubled, to 48, with a combined compensation of $6.9 million. And that's just the people making over $100,000.
Takes care of his friends. And unfortunately, the little people of Ontario are not Doug Ford's friends.
I've always said I should use my powers for evil. And just like, that's kind of the way I'd go, you know?
Like, I made a joke one time that I was like, I'll get a job in the legislature just so I can
just
punch Doug Ford in the head.
Why not?
And then leave.
We're going to have to edit that part out. I don't want this to be pulled off the air. What else are we going to bring on? You were at the Blue Jays game on Monday. We were talking about the $400 million in renovations at the Rogers Centre. Just how different was it walking in for you? What did, was it noticeable? Was there any part of it that was like, oh wow, this was worth it?
Well, now I can't afford to sit in the spot that they renovated.
Oh, yeah.
No, so it didn't affect me. Well, it affected me because normally, yeah, like I would take advantage of the fact that you could pay $100 for a ticket and be like 10 rows back from third base, because no other Toronto team you could sit that close for that cheap. So I used to like sitting that close because, you know, when you start chirping, the opposing team can actually hear you. Like, it's a super fun environment. But I was sitting up in the 500 section, so it looks different looking down. I will say it looks a lot more like Budweiser stage, where, you know how the sections are like split up by big like walkways.
Yeah,
like that's what it looks like from overhead. I do want to buy a ticket for one game just to sit there, just to see what it's like.
Like behind. Or like the 100s, like not, you're not talking like the premium.
No. No, I'm not rich. I'm not rich. No, I'll splurge for the now like closer to $200 ticket. Man. But
that's crazy. And that, you did mention that too. You thought there was a very corporate-y vibe to it.
It was a lot quieter than I was expecting. Like there were moments, like I've been to my fair share of Blue Jays games over the last 6-7 years, and yeah, there's moments where, you know, the crowd gets loud anyways because they're paying attention to the game. So I'll use the example of, there were a couple moments where Berríos, it was 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. And usually the crowd just kind of gets loud at that point on their own.
Yeah.
But then as ballparks and arenas do, they tell you, like, get louder. And it would be, like, louder, and it would just be, like, crickets. And I'm like, why is nobody cheering? Like, what's going on? Yeah. I don't know. Or, yeah, I'm not sure. It
was
just quieter.
What motivated you to get to the home opener?
I just really like going to the home opener. Yeah. It's just always been a fun little tradition of mine. Last year, I guess because of the renovations, normally I get my tickets for the home opener in like February, March. Yeah. And last year I went to get them and they were sold out.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh, I better look ahead.
Because there was a buzz around the team last year coming back, right?
Right. But this year I got them in December because when the show, or maybe even November, because when the Shohei Ohtani stuff started picking up, I'm like, I don't want to miss the home opener, not even just for him, just in general. So I got my tickets and within 3 days they were completely sold out. So I was glad
A lot of my buddies, we've been like sharing like the best way to go, like a couple of like restaurants in Welland, bars in Welland, where they live, they're doing like bus trips. It's like $150.
Okay.
Like that's a little bit too much, I think.
I just like to jump on the train.
It's expensive though. They have to be a good game. They have to be good. I have to really commit to that.
I like the atmosphere of the ballpark. I will say I will buy myself a mini
pack?
No, not a mini pack. Like a mini like wine bottle to drink on the train.
What?
So that I don't have
now
to
I'm
buy.
No, I'm definitely gonna. If your threat to punch the premier wasn't enough, now I'm definitely gonna have to edit this show.
It wasn't a threat. No. Anyways, I know it's. I don't know. And then all the food they came out with, like, just no friends, like looked gross. So I just went for. It's actually funny though, because to get a wine, like I'm not a beer drinker. Sorry, I know beer is the ballpark drink of choice, but I get wine when I go to the ballpark. To get wine, it's like $20 for like 200 milliliters, I think. And to get fries and chicken fingers, it's like $12. So that just goes to show you what an expensive night out going to the ballpark.
More people before we let you go. More people coming up after Drake. What's going on? Why is Drake starting all these beefs?
I don't know. I just feel like Drake's like probably punching the air right now.
But like J. Cole apologized though too.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think,
and Boomin Metro. Where is he in all this?
Boomin Metro. That's his
Boomin
name.
Metro.
Metro Boomin. No. So the. I don't know. Apparently, Metro Boomin and Drake started beefing because they produced an album together. Like, Metro Boomin's a producer, so you never, like, hear him. He's just the one who... Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the one who mixes the songs. So him and Drake did an album together, and there was, I guess, supposed to be a part two, but Drake just never, like, committed to working on it. So that was where their beef came from. Then Drake's beef with Future was because apparently they were fighting over a girl. So... teamed up with Metro Boomin. Then the original version of the album had Kendrick Lamar on it, dissing Drake and J. Cole. J. Cole comes out with his own album, disses Kendrick Lamar, immediately feels bad, rescinds the diss, deletes the track. Then today, there's a bonus, like a deluxe album, I guess, they released of this album that had the original trigger on it with Kendrick Lamar. A$AP Rocky's on the album dissing Drake. The Weeknd's on the album dissing Drake. J. Cole's on the album. He's not dissing Drake, but I feel like when J. Cole recorded his verse for this album, it was probably way before any of this was happening. So it was just kind of like Metro Boomin and Future's way to be like, we even got your boy on here, even though it likely was recorded like way before. And he's not actually dissing Drake on it. But
so what's the hate for Drake?
Drake's just really corny. And a lot of like rappers don't like that.
It's Canadian.
I know. I don't know what the issue is. I feel like Drake talks a big game that he can't back up. And then, I don't know. Kendrick's just hated him, like, from the jump.
That's a very expensive watch.
Oh, yeah, he's probably wearing, like, upwards of, like, $50,000.
That's crazy.
Right there.
Big plans for the weekend?
No, low-key weekend for once in my life.
There you go. Low-key. Nothing wrong with that. Low-key. All right. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, taking it easy. Thanks for doing this. You got to get ready for the show.
Yep.
I got to get ready for the show, too. So my thanks to Laura Seven for joining me today. My thanks to Nicole Martin as well. My thanks to Mike Corston for directing today's show, because I cannot be there and here pressing the button. So I need somebody to press the buttons. And Mike Corston, best in the business when it comes to CHCH podcast. So thank you, Mike Corston. And thank you for listening, however you found us. And while you're busy subscribing, make sure you subscribe to all of our Trending Now social media channels, including on X, YouTube, and TikTok. And make sure you subscribe to CHCH Podcasts wherever you find your favorite podcast, so you never miss an episode of this show or any of the other great shows we have for you. From all of us here at CHCH, I'm Louis Butko. Have a great weekend.